Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. We do acknowledge that you are Lord of all. You are Lord of all, Jesus Christ, Creator, Savior, the living Word of God. And Lord, we want our lives to show you forth, Lord. We want our lives to demonstrate your reality, to show to the people around us that you're real, that you're a real God, you're a real Savior. You're not just about religion. Oh God, we pray that the things that are said today and the things that we talk about today would have that effect upon us, Lord. That the greater reality of you would become into our life because of that, Father. That somehow you could take these things, Lord, these testimonies we've heard today, these songs that we've sung, and this message that you've given to me. And because of it, Lord, we would be more conformed into your image, to show forth your virtues to a world that is deceived, a world that is deluded by the devil and by the lying spirits and multitudes of inventions and ideas of man. Lord, we just uphold your word this morning and declare that thy word is truth, Lord. Your word is life. Where else can we go, Lord? You alone have the words of life, as we've heard already. I ask you, Lord, to take my words and wing them, Lord. Bring them home to our hearts, O God. And that you would be seen. I need you, Lord. And I ask you, like you said to, Lord, ask and it shall be given to you, Lord. I'm asking you for some bread. Something good, Lord, for my friends who've come, Lord. And I have nothing to set before them. I pray for those loaves this morning, Lord. Let everyone hear from God today. Take away the clouds and confusions, Lord. Take away the fog and let the sunshine of your truth and your love reach us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me sit down, please. Greetings to you all this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm glad to be here today, be able to share God's Word with you. Something that I've always enjoyed to do is to discover how to live the Christian life. I know as a young Christian, many times I would ask that question. People would say things like, you need to walk in the Spirit. You need to abide in Christ. You need to intercede for somebody. You need to enter into rest. And I would be thinking, well, how do you do that? That sounds great, but I don't know how to do that. And so, it seems like God has given me a burden or a joy to try to help people to know how to do some of these things. And not that I have it all figured out, but He has taught me some things, praise God. And so this morning I'd like to do that. I'd like to try to do that with God's help. The subject that I have is not how to walk in the Spirit, or how to abide in Christ, or how to enter into His rest. But it actually is a part of all those things. And actually, if you can understand what I'm going to say here this morning, you're going to learn a key, how to walk in the Spirit, how to abide in Christ, how to pray. So it's an important topic, and I'm excited to be able to share that with you this morning, because I know what God can do through someone who puts into practice what I'm going to share with you. I'm going to tell you up front that I have a homework assignment for you before we're done. I hope you like homework. Do you want to be changed?
Amen.
That takes homework, doesn't it? It takes homework. It's more than just coming to church on Sunday. So we'll get to that at the end, but there's something I want you to do. Because doing brings the changes in our life. I'm going to start out a little unusually today with a story from my life, testimony, that illustrates this principle I want to share with you today. And after I share that, then I'd like to give you a title of the message. Go to God's Word. See what does the Bible say about it. So I ask you all to come with me on this trip today. God has something for you. It doesn't really matter where you're at. If you're a new Christian, God has something to share with you today. If you've been a Christian for many years, I believe that God has likewise something to bless you, something to help you. Maybe you're not even saved. Maybe you know you're not even a Christian. I believe God has something to say to you today as well. So I ask you to come with me on this little story, this journey in God's Word. Open your hearts. I believe God can give you something you need, something I need today. I was saved at the age of 23. And I didn't have much Bible knowledge before that. I was raised as a Catholic. Went to church a lot, but I didn't know the Bible. Wasn't encouraged to read it. So I was very ignorant of the Bible. Very ignorant of the things of God. But I had an insatiable desire to read His Word. It was so exciting to me to read what God had to say. And this scripture that I'm going to share with you in my testimony this morning was one that just about knocked me over when I first read it in the Bible. The first time I ever read it, I could hardly believe it. It was so rich, so thrilling. And it became my favorite verse of Scripture. We were at we had a little supper a month or so ago after the new deacons were ordained to kind of get to know each other, and we did a little exercise. People got little papers that said ask you a question about something around the table, and my question was, what's your favorite verse of Scripture? So that got me thinking about this. My favorite verse of Scripture has always been Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. You have to understand that where I was at when I read that verse, I was raised an environment of stressing higher education and intellectual pursuit, academic knowledge, having to figure stuff out. And I read that verse that said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You mean I don't need that, all that understanding? I don't need all that. It just so thrilled me when I read that. This is something I can live by. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. That sounds like a promise to me, doesn't it? Well, I shared then a little story that night about how God used that verse in my life. One time, The first 4 years of my Christian life, up till I was 27, I had no desire at all to be married. I knew I wasn't ready. I knew I need to learn about God. I need to grow. I don't even want to think about getting married. It didn't enter my mind as something I would actually would do. And I thank God for that. Because those 4 years of my life were years that I got to know God. And I got to know His Word. I read His Word over and over. And I grew as a Christian. And that was good for me. I thank God that He put that thing inside my heart that said, don't think about marriage. You're not ready for that. But when I was 27, I began to think about it. And I began to have strong desire. I felt lonely. I felt, God, I'd like to help me. I began to pray for a wife. And think about a wife and consider that whole subject. And I began to date a young lady in my church at that time. I didn't understand about courtship and dating and all these things. I didn't know you could do a courtship. I just figured you date. So I began to date a young lady, Christian lady. She's about my age. We're both about 27. And it was really a bad. You put together somebody who's not as spiritual as they think they are, me, and who thinks they're more spiritual than his girlfriend, with a girlfriend who's insecure and suffering from rejection all her life, and you have a recipe for disaster. And that's what it was like. There were some better moments, but really, it's pretty pathetic. I was reading in my journals last night because I want to just refresh my mind of that time. And when I wrote in my journal the story that I want to share with you, I said this was the worst thing that ever happened in my life. Something like that. I thought I was going to die. It felt so bad. Well, God gives us what we need, right? He gave me what I needed. Well, for some reason, in spite of all this difficulty in our relationship, I was actually at a point where I was seeking God. Should I ask this girl to marry me? And I was planning to do that. I was thinking about it. And so I just felt turmoil, though. Turmoil. This can't be right. This, something's wrong. No peace. I finally said, all right, that's it. I'm going to get away from here. I'm going to go over to the Arches National Park, which is in Utah, which was about 4 hours away from where I lived in Colorado. I drove out there. This was December 23rd, I think it was. And it's really cold out there that time of year. So I drove out there. I'm going to seek the Lord. And God's going to give me a revelation of His will for my life. Well, I didn't hear anything. And I about half froze to death in the back of my pickup truck. That night I camped out there. And it was terrible. And I decided, this is it. This is for the birds. I'm getting out of here. So I got back in my pickup, got in there and started to drive back home, the 4-hour drive. And such an unrest, such a turmoil and confusion and fear came into me. I just didn't know what to do. On the one hand, I really wanted to get married. And on the other hand, just didn't have peace about this situation. And I was trying to figure it out in my head. You know, what should I do? You know, weigh everything out. Okay, these are the positives, these are the negatives. What is God's will? I wasn't able to think straight. And my mind would just be racing, just going. I couldn't control my thinking. And right during that time, my favorite verse of the Bible came to me. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Somehow God's Word broke through. I know why, because I put it in my heart. It was in there. God had something to work with. That's the word that came into my mind. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I mean, I was so far from that. I was so full of fear, so full of uncertainty, anxiety. How am I going to know God's will? How do I figure this out? I just decided I am going to have to just stand on this word. And so, for 4 hours, I quoted that verse over and over in my mind as I drove. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And then I'd start worrying again. Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. And then I'd start breaking it down. Okay, trust. Lean on. Rely upon. Put your whole self into the hands of. And I'd go like that. Trust. Trust in. In what? Trust in the Lord. The God who made everything. The God who is so big and powerful that He holds the universe together with His own Word. Trust in the Lord who's revealed Himself in the Bible this way and that way. And I went on down the line. Trust in the Lord with something, with all your heart, with all, not part of your heart, not a little compartmentalization. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, all that is within you, everything that is within your being, your mind, your emotions, your will, your very self. Trust in the Lord with all yourself, your heart. And don't lean not. Don't trust in, don't lean on. Don't worry about your thoughts. Don't try to figure it out. So I went driving down the road just like that for like 4 hours. If I didn't do that, I felt like I'm going to lose my mind even. I needed something to glue me together, to hold me together, something solid. And praise God, His Word is that solid. Amen? It is firm enough and solid enough to hold my life and your life together. You may not need the verse that I needed. But the Word of God says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Every word in here is pure. Settled in heaven forever. Do you believe that? Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. God, I acknowledge You in this way. God, You know I want to get married, Lord. But God, I acknowledge You. I don't want to do my own thing, God. I don't want to get my own marriage together, God. I acknowledge You, Lord. I acknowledge that You're Lord of all, that I gave my life to You, and that I don't want to live for myself. In all Your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Thank You, God, that You're going to direct my path. Lord, I don't know how You're going to do that, but I thank You that You're going to direct. See, that's what was happening. Something wonderful happened in that truck. Yes, it was the worst feeling I think I've ever had. But something wonderful happened in there. That's one of the ways of God. He brings us into situations that seem awful. Seem like they're going to destroy us. Because He wants to do something wonderful. And you know, as I thought about it after our little get-together there with the ministers, I said, this would make a good sermon, Lord. I think I'd like to share that with people. So I was thinking about it for a week or two. Well, we went on our trip to Colorado. And the first day out there, things were going bad. my speedometer all of a sudden went right down to the bottom. The same moment, my cruise control went out, and my, of course, the odometer went out, and my gas gauge was never very good to begin with, so I had no way to know how fast I'm going, or how far I went, or how much gas I had left. It was bad. I talk about prayer. And we had to go slower because I didn't have the high gear. So we finally limped into my Laura's cousin's house in Michigan. And it was a hard night. I mean, all these fears and worries came upon me. Like, you're going on this big, long trip. You got this old jalopy thing that's going to break down halfway across the country. And you're going to be stuck. What are you going to do then? Who's going to tow you home? You know, all this just garbage. And other things too. A lot of other, just, you know how the devil comes like a flood sometimes. And so that's what I felt like. That night I had a dream that a snake was eating me. Okay, I mean, this was one good thing about that. When dreams like that come, I know that the devil is attacking me. So I woke up that morning and I didn't know what to do, how to fix the van, where we're going to do all these things. And I just went out. It was on a farm, and I walked out this long lane to the woods he had in the back there. And I just was thinking about what was happening, and all these fears and worries were coming in on me. I was thinking, maybe I'm just going to turn around and go back home. This is crazy. Why did I ever want to go on this long trip anyway with this junker, you know? And so I started thinking about this, my favorite verse. Came back to my mind again, and sort of almost in a condemning way. Like, yeah, you're going to preach a sermon on that, you know. It sort of hit me like that, but then in a good way it came, and the Lord say to me, that verse isn't just for you to share with people. That story isn't just a nice story, but you're there right now. You're there again. What are you going to do? And the other thing that struck me right at that moment was the story from Pilgrim's Progress. You know, where the lions, they're on either side of the path, and they can just reach. They can't reach. It'd be like they're on either side of this aisle, and they can't quite get into the middle. But they're roaring. They're loud. Their hot breath is breathing out on you. And you feel like if you try to go right between them, you're dead. And that thing just came into my mind. I'm right there. You know, where mistrust and timorous turned back and ran. And I just said, God, I said, if your word isn't true, if I can't stand on your word, then what am I even doing? What do I have to stand on? I just said, Lord, I'm just going to stand on your word. I'm just going to trust you, Lord, with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. And the peace of God came to my heart right then. Praise God. I came back to the house and it was just amazing. The cousin says, hey, my landlord has this tester, you know, that you plug into the engine. Computer tells problems. He thinks you have this problem, so why don't we go over there? So it was like 2 minutes when I got back to the house. I was in my van driving over to his, and we got our part that we needed. We hunted it down. We stuck it in there and everything worked fine. We had a wonderful trip. God used that trip to refresh me and to have opportunities to minister to old friends, and it was a beautiful thing. Praise God. And you know, I didn't finish the other story, so I should get back to that. I arrived back home after this trip to the Arches. I mean, I was wore out. You can imagine all that emotional energy, all that adrenaline, all that fear. I got back home. It was like I was just quiet. I was so wore out. I've been quoting this verse over and over and over again, praying it, quoting it. I was just tired. I was just quiet. But I had peace. Somehow, I had peace in my heart. All that agitation was gone. all that fear was gone. All those thoughts about how am I going to figure this thing out, they weren't there.
Amen.
And for the first time in a long time, I had a clear mind. And very clearly, the Lord said, this relationship is not of me. You need to end it. If this relationship was of me, you would have peace. You would not have turmoil. Well, that seems pretty obvious now, doesn't it? But it didn't seem that way because I wanted something. God spoke to me. God's Word held my mind together, kept it glued together, and kept it focused on Him so that He could fulfill His Word. So I walked that thing out and I told my girlfriend that I feel like God's told me that this is not His will and we need to break up. Well, that wasn't an easy pill to swallow. There were difficulties to work through there. But I knew that God had spoken to me. And I knew that's what I had to do. So it wasn't a difficult decision. I just got to do this. And I purposed right then. I said, God, I am not going to date another girl. This dating is not what I want to do. I said, God, I'm asking You to bring me a wife, to give me a wife. And I'm trusting You, Lord. I even told my friend. I said, I told my friend that. I said, I'm not dating anymore. He said, what do you mean you're not dating anymore? You want to get married, don't you? Yes. Well, how are you going to find a wife? God's going to show me. God's going to make it clear. And praise God, He made it clear. For a whole year, I had that posture of, Lord, I just want to become the man that You want to give to this woman, whoever she is. Make me that, Lord. And I'd pray that way too. I'd go out and we lived on a hillside there. And there was a nice trail. I could walk a long ways. Many times I took my loneliness to the Lord. I said, God, You be my friend. And I'd pray for my wife. Well, I wasn't sure who it was yet. God made it very clear about a year later. Actually, it was a little bit more than a year later. About a year and a half later. He made it absolutely clear to me. Laura is the one that you're to marry. He did it in some ways that are, as I look back, we're just unmistakable. He knew what I needed. We have been blessed ever since. We never had to go through the turmoil. We never had to go through all that stuff. I think Laura has thanked God for that girl more than once. She got to be my holy sandpaper instead of Laura. Not that we haven't had our share too, but praise God. He knows what we need. I acknowledged Him before I dated that girl. It wasn't like I wasn't acknowledging Him and I wasn't wanting His will. So did He lead me into that relationship that He later said was not my will? Did God lead me there? I believe He did. I don't understand it all. But I believe He did. Just like He led me to move into Lancaster City, 12 years ago, which I thought was for some wonderful ministry in the city. The Lord said, no, I didn't bring you there for that after it was all over. I took you there for something else. I had a wonderful ministry I wanted to do in you. You must have thought I needed it more than them. We don't always understand, why He does the things He does. But if we acknowledge Him in all our ways, He shall direct our path. I have learned that. Praise God. And you know that verse? We could just talk about that verse all day long, couldn't we? I mean, don't we all desire that? If you're a Christian, we all want to be led by God. We all want the Lord to direct our path. We all want to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not be filled with all these other worries and fears and thoughts. We could spend the whole time speaking on that one verse. Praise God for His Word. How deep is it? How deep is that verse? Deep enough for you and me. Hallelujah. It's deep enough. Okay, I'd like to write the title on the board here. How to live by every word of God. Does that bring a verse to your mind? It does, doesn't it? Let's turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And you'll see where this story ties in here as we go. I was living by that word of God that day. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'd like to say, I understand that was kind of an extreme story. Maybe a bit on the extreme side. Maybe that's not the way we live every day of our life. But are there some people in here who are in extreme cases? I'm sure there are some of you today. You're in extremities. And so, this message has something to say to us, to you. But maybe you're not in extremities. Maybe you're not at the wit's end. This message has something to say to you too. Because it's still the way to live. Whatever your situation is, and we'll do some applications later on to try to jog our thinking. Let's look at the verse. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 1. How to live by every word of God. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do. Why? That you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. God doesn't give us commands to ruin our life. He told them right up front, I've got these commands and I want you to do them all. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I want to bless you. I want you to go in, multiply, live, and possess the land that I promised to you. And you know, isn't that what the devil tries to take away every time from us? Question, does God really love you? Why did He tell you not to eat from that tree? Isn't it because He doesn't want you to be smart like Him? That's the big lie. Here God tells us, I have done this for your good. If we're going to live by every word of God, we need to believe that every word of God is given for my good. There's nothing put in here to mess me up, to ruin my fun, to make me miserable. But everything God gave us was given that we might live and possess the land which the Lord wants to give us. The world and the devil, they come with that such an opposite way. Their idea of Christianity is there's a bunch of rules you got to keep if you want to go to heaven. And it makes you miserable. So you might as well live it up. And maybe when you're old, then start keeping the rules and get your ticket into heaven or something like that. Well, that's a lie. You wait till you're old and you're going to leave a life of ruin, destruction, misery. And you probably never will turn. Because your heart won't be in the same place as it was when you said that. Satan's a liar and a thief. So, we have to have it settled that this book is true. This book is for my good. And every word in here is from God for my blessing. Do you believe that today? Amen. All right. Verse 2. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. How did God lead them? Who can tell me? How did He lead the children of Israel? With a cloud. There was actually a cloud, a huge cloud, that blocked the sun from the children of Israel. They're in a desert. Cloud by day and a fire by night. Was there any question that God was leading them? Could there be any doubt about it? No, they had the cloud there. When the cloud moved, they moved. There was no doubt about it. God has led us everywhere. So now He says, you shall remember all the way which the Lord thy God has led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? To humble you and to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. God has a purpose in His leadings of us. Yes, He humbles us and proves us for our good and for His glory. And it says in verse 3, and He humbled you. He suffered you to hunger. He allowed you to get hungry. He literally says He hungered you. He brought you into hunger. You know, I wrestled with the title on this message. One of the titles I was going to say was, He brought them into hunger to lead them into life. And doesn't He do that? God brought me into hunger on that trip and through that circumstance to lead me into life. He brought forth life out of that hunger. He humbled you and suffered you to hunger. He allowed them to get... He brought them with the cloud to a very place where they were going to get hungry. Does God ever lead you into places where you're going to... things are going to feel bad and you're going to be hungry? Or did He just do that for them? Does He lead people today into dry places? Yes, He does. And then He fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know. Why? So that He might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. In other words, what that says to me is that there's this huge circumstance that God orchestrated to teach one thing. Right? That's what He says here. He orchestrated this entire thing that He might make you know that man does not live by bread only. You are not an animal. You are not just some swamp gas that evolved into a being. You are not just an animal creature. No, you were created in the image of God. And God is saying, I want you to know that you don't live by bread only. What a pathetic life that is just consists of eating and drinking and carnal pursuit, isn't it? It's like living like an animal almost. I mean, that's what animals do, right? They just satisfy the desires of their bodies. God says, I made you for something way better than that. I'm going to make this huge 40-year lesson to teach you this thing, that you're not going to live by bread only, but you live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. And that lesson wasn't just for them, that's for us today. Because it says in the Bible that all these things were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come, that are in samples unto us, that we might learn these lessons. So they got to be this huge illustration for our benefit. No, we're not animals. God was saying, you are not an animal creature. There's something in you. There's a part of you that is only going to live by the Word of God. There's actually something in you, he was trying to tell these people by this illustration, that can never be satisfied with the things on the earth. Okay, you're never going to be fulfilled with stuff on this earth. Did you get that? How many of us have tried it? It doesn't do it, does it? Somebody shared that. David, I think, shared that this morning in his testimony. It just doesn't do it. And God was telling, think about it now, these are heathen people that God is calling out. He's wanting to teach them His ways and His methods and who He is. So He's telling them, look, there's something about you that is only going to be satisfied by My Word. And to let you know that, I'm giving you this 40-year lesson. Every day you're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to remember afresh, I'm living by God's Word. Because God said, I will put manna on the ground for you 6 days a week, and on the seventh it won't be there. These people literally had a lesson every day they woke up and went to get their manna. And that lesson was, I live by the Word of God. God, in other words, God is faithful. Whatever He says He's going to do, He will do. And so they had this lesson every day of their life. And God has the same word for you and me today. You shall not live by bread only, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. The reason I shared that testimony with you earlier about my life was because in a small way, in that one way, that's what God was doing in me. He was showing me, you can't even hold your mind together without My Word. But with My Word, you can think right. You can be led by Me. You can overcome your own flesh and desires and your own self that wants something really bad that's not going to... I was at the threshold of making the worst decision of my whole life. I guarantee you, if I had made that decision and I had gotten married, that it would have been a disaster. Oh, I still would have been a Christian. But my life would have been a disaster. Because that was not the woman that God had for me. I was that close. But praise God. Though I was that close, I really wasn't, because God took His peace away from my heart. And if He's taken His peace away from your heart, you need to listen to that. And say, okay, God, what's happening? Why don't I have Your peace? He's so faithful to do that. I'm still learning about it. We went to buy a house a few years back. And there was a certain house that we thought was the Lord's will, and it looked like the perfect place and all these things. And we left there and we said, let's go home and make an offer on it. And as soon as I walked out in the car, I had a sense of peace of God draining out of my life. And I couldn't bring myself to make an offer, you know, and circumstances took place. I won't get into it all, but we didn't get that house. And later on, I thought, I missed it. Oh. And I was talking to my friend, my accountability partner then, Phil Chapman. Some of you probably remember him. And he said, Brother Paul, he said, that house was not God's will for you. Because you didn't have peace about it. And if it would have been His will, He would have given you a peace about it. Sometimes we're slow to learn. But you know what? I've learned again, that was right. It wasn't God's will for me. He had something better. Praise God. You and I were made to be connected to God. The connections come through here. The Word of God. Being born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It's His Word. Jesus is the living Word of God. The Word become flesh. What a burden that I have this morning is that we see that this book has everything that you and I need for life, for godliness. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's all here. But somehow, sometimes, for some reason, we doubt it, don't we? We think that my situation is something unique, or I've got these circumstances that are different. No, everything we need is in here. I'm going to ask you to do something this week with the Word of God for 1 week as we get to the end. And that may change your life. That may bring you through something that you need to come through. Jesus was hungry. The devil told him, use your power. Make this rock into a piece of bread. What did Jesus say? It is written, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. This verse here has been my manna and my meditation for several weeks. Every verse. I want to talk about how do we do that. How do you live by every word? Can you live by every single word in here today? Can you do that all at once? There's many words in here. There's many things in here. We can't handle all that. And God doesn't expect us to. But where you are today, right now, whatever the circumstance that you're in, there is something in the Word of God that is life for you. That will give you what you need. I don't know how to tell you that. I don't know what it is for you. We have food here. There's something inside of this apple that if I eat it and my body breaks it down, it's going to actually become a part of me. Isn't that right? Amazingly, in the food that God has put on this earth, that food actually, when we take that into our body, we take that bite, we take it down into our stomach. It's digested. There's parts of that, the nutrients that are in that piece of fruit or in that whatever, they actually become part of who, of you, your body. What if you don't eat that fruit? What if you're really starving? And there's a piece of fruit. I thought, I knew I couldn't do it, but I thought, you know, it'd be really nice to have this huge banqueting table spread up here with a white cloth on it and turkeys and vegetables and all kinds of spread all over it. You know, you could be a starving person in the very room that something like that was spread and you could die. Right? Because there's something you have to do in order to get life from the food. You just got to stick it in your mouth. And you have to eat it. It's a very simple lesson. Very simple thing. But God compares His Word to the food that we eat. He says, you know, you can have this Bible sitting right on your coffee table. You can have it in the most prominent place in your house. You can carry it with you wherever you go. And you could be starving. Because you're not ingesting it. It's not becoming a part of you. You're not eating the Word. When I was on my car, I started eating that Word. When I was in my truck driving back from Utah, I was eating the Word. I didn't think I had any choice. I was starving. I began to eat and eat and eat. And that word began, that was my favorite verse already. But you know what? We can have favorite verses and we can have scriptures that we love and we can even memorize them. But there's something that has to happen. They need to be digested in order to become a part of our fiber. And that's the work of God, I believe, to bring us into situations. Our work is, yes, take that word, stick it, ingest it, memorize it, quote it, believe it, stand on it, love it, read it. But then God brings us into hunger to teach us how to live. I don't understand how this apple becomes a part of me. I'm so glad I don't have to tell my body what to do. Wouldn't that be a drag? I have to tell, okay, now, you enzymes coming out of the pancreas, go ahead, get into the stomach. We need a shot of that. All right, you acid in the stomach, let's go. You know, we don't do that, praise the Lord. It all happens for us, right? Without our effort. In some mysterious way, it breaks it all down into these little tiny molecules and things that our cells then latch onto and transport throughout our body.
Amen.
Take them every place that they need to go. Isn't that glorious? Hallelujah. That's what God needs to do with His Word. There's man's part and there's God's part. God says, hide my Word within your heart. God says, live by my Word. God says, study to show yourself approved unto God. There's our part to do with it. But then there's God's part. And sometimes that's where we get derailed. Because we think that when God starts doing His part, it's the end of the world. It's the end of my life. This thing is going to kill me. And God says, no, it's just digestion. I know that verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I know it now. Will I ever have to walk it out? Yes, I'll have to continually walk it out. But I know from experience that it's true. I have a record. I have a record of events in my life where God took that word and He applied it that time, other times. And I know that if I acknowledge Him, He's going to direct my path. It is guaranteed. When I first heard that verse 25 years ago and it blew me away, it was a wonderful verse. But it hadn't become a part of me yet. I hadn't digested it. I loved it. So that's the process of digestion there that we're talking about. We have to do something. You have responsibility. Don't be a starving person and look at that beautiful food, that lovely fruit that's so pretty, that looks like it would just be so helpful to eat, but never eat it, not ingest it, not put it in. And I'm afraid as many times that we do that, we don't have a sense of the responsibility and the blessing that God has given us and called us to live by His Word. Let me ask you, are you living by the Word of God? Is there a Word today? Is there something in God's Word that you're living by, that you're clinging to, that you're believing? I know there's also a general sense of where we just believe God's Word. We've read it many times and it is having an effect upon us. And that's good. But then there's also the importance of, but what part of it am I believing now? What part is it that I need today for the challenges that I face now? I have different challenges today than I had 25 years ago. There's different areas in my life that God is revealing to me. He's working in and so forth. I want to somehow, with the grace of God, give us a vision. It's God's will for Christians to be clinging to His Word daily. To be having a promise that you rest, that you're holding on to have a verse that speaks to your need that you are not going to let go of. Just like in that desperate situation I was in, I couldn't let go of that thing. I didn't feel like I even had a choice. So let's just talk about a few applications today. Maybe you're in the same place I was. You're facing a big decision of life and you need an answer. You need to live by the Word of God. How to live by the Word of God. You need to find a verse that speaks to that. My verse, like I said already, Proverbs 3:5. Maybe your verse is James. That's another one I've lived on. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all men and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I'm just going to share a few situations so that maybe you can jog your minds and hearts. And God can speak to you and give you a verse and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to live on that one. That speaks to my life. I prayed, you know, that God would do that today. That God would give you something to live off. What about maybe you find yourself in a situation of you need to love somebody that's unlovely. Maybe that's your challenge. I've been there before. Just somebody that really is unlovely. And yet for some reason God brought them into my life. And I don't love them, but I need to. Maybe you need to live on a verse of the Bible. In as much as you've done it unto these, the least of these, you've done it unto me. I know that's something that helped me before. I'm not doing this for this person. I'm doing it for Jesus. Because He said if I do it to the least, I'm doing it unto Him. Maybe you're struggling with pride. I'll probably share some of the things I've struggled with. When I was a new Christian, that was a big one to me. That I just saw all this pride in my life. Everywhere. I mean, it was strange because half the time I hated the way I was. And the other half, I was trying to build myself up and think about how I was better than the other person. But I found a verse that helped me. 1 Corinthians 4. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou hast not received? Now, if you did receive it, why do you glory as if you had not received it? That verse was life to me. Because I realized, you know what? If there's anything different about me, I didn't make myself different. God made me. And so, why should I glory like I did some great thing or whatever? Any good thing that's in any of us is only because of God. Amen. So there's a verse to live on. To let that settle down into your heart. You didn't pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You didn't make yourself successful. Any good thing you have came from God. I struggled for years with doubts about my salvation. And for probably 10 years, and I decided, Laura and I decided like 15 years ago, we are going to memorize 1 John. Because 1 John has a verse in it that says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. So that was my food. And you know what happened as I started to memorize that? Nothing. Nothing happened right away. Was it a waste of time? I think it was 5 years later that God did something in my life. But I know I'm saved. I know the witness. I believe the record of the Son of God. I have the witness in my heart. I share that one to you because of the fact that sometimes you don't see immediate results. But it's still the Word of God. Still, if it speaks to your situation, take it in. Get radical. All right, maybe you need to forgive somebody. All of us go through that sometime, don't we? I'm sure there's somebody in this room today who needs to forgive somebody. God has a word of life for you. You can live on the word of God. Maybe it's Matthew 18, where he says that if you don't forgive your brothers, that God's going to turn you over to the tormentors. And then that whole story, the whole parable there. Maybe it's every day I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer. And Lord, forgive me as I forgive others their trespasses. You take that word in you. God, forgive me today as I forgive so and so. Living by the word of God. Maybe you're defeated by a certain sin in your life. And you know, if we're defeated by a sin, it just robs our joy. The Christian life, you know, becomes drudgery. God's will is that we have victory. When I was struggling as a new Christian with a certain lust of the flesh, I found the verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation you taken you but what is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. And I began to take that, to eat that one, to memorize it, to quote it. Then when I was tempted, I would start to quote that verse over and over. God said He'd make a way of escape. God, You said You would not let me be tempted above. Did I fail some more? Yes, I did. But did God use it to bring me to victory? He did. Praise God. His Word is powerful. Do we believe it? If you're struggling with the temptation this morning, do you believe the Word of God can give you what you need? Do you believe there's a verse in there that has victory for you? Or must you be a slave? Must you be defeated by that lust of the flesh, whatever it may be? By that habit, that sin? This Word can be stood on. This Word is forever settled in heaven. You all came in and you're all sitting on these benches. I noticed. You just put your whole self down on there. You don't look nervous. You act like you believe that bench is going to hold you up. What's more solid? The bench you're sitting on? Or this? Which is going to last forever? This is going to last forever and ever and ever. It says that heaven and earth will pass away. All these benches are going to burn up. We can plop ourselves down in here, can't we? Praise God. All right, just a couple more. Maybe you're struggling with depression. I had a lot of struggles with depression in my life. Maybe you need to take in some Psalms. You know, David was someone who was really depressed a lot of times. But he knew how to talk to God about it. Psalm 94. Verse 17. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. The whole book of Psalms is something you can take in. So I hope I've been able to challenge us this morning that you're going to want to do something. Don't just be hungry. Don't just be starving. When God has set the table for us, He's given it to us. He's given this banquet, this food. Maybe you're somebody who have troubles with your mind. And you need your mind to be held together. Let the Word of God glue your mind and keep it stayed on God. I'm asking you this week, your homework is to ask God for a word from the Bible that speaks to you, that gives you, that talks of your situation. I'm asking you to take that word in this week. Think about it during the week. Memorize it if you can. Talk about it. Tell somebody else about it. Cling to it. Pray it back to God. That's a wonderful way to pray. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. Pray the Word of God back to Him. Even if it doesn't seem real to you, that's all the more reason. Step out on it. Maybe, okay, one final thing here. If you're not saved today, maybe you're a young person who's been coming to church for years, and for whatever reason, it just doesn't seem like you've gotten what the Lord has for you. You've not been born again. His word has been given already. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be saved? Shall be saved. Some people, I think, are waiting for something to happen to them, and God is saying, I've given you my word. Will you take it in? No, you're not a Christian yet. But the word of God is there for you. Will you starve to death in the presence of the banquet? Will you die when the food of God was given? To those of you, I say today, eat the Word of God. Memorize it. Do what it says. It says, call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. If you don't know what that means, call upon Him, do the best you know how, and ask Him to show you. I believe, what would God do with a whole church full of people like this, who goes out of here today and grabs a hold of something from the Word of God to base our life on? Isn't that what the world is waiting to see? They're tired of religion. They're tired of just church. They're tired of Christians who are phonies and who fall into huge sins and disgrace and make people think there's nothing to it and it's all a fake. But they're not tired of seeing something that's real. We just heard about it this morning. They weren't tired of hearing about that one, were they, Emmanuel? God did something in my dad. If He could change him, wow, maybe He could even change me. What could God do if all of us would purpose to do that? That we're not going to leave church today and just forget about the message, but we're going to go home. We're going to spend a little bit of time and ask God, I want to learn how to live by every word. So help me to start this week. Give me a word that I can live on. And I believe that God would do wonderful things through you and me and this congregation and this community. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
Tempted to bite into that thing. All right, thank God for His Word. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for the Word. Thank You, Paul, for preaching the Word to us. I wonder if you're hungry, or have you eaten today? Met a sister this morning. She came in. Oh, she said, it's such a beautiful morning. I wish I would have taken my walk this morning. Have you had your walk this morning? Have you had time to take a walk and just meditate and go to that banqueting table and allow the Spirit of God to bring His Word to you? Out of the depths of your heart, that Word could come. I can say, amen. I've eaten this morning. But some of you, maybe you haven't eaten this morning. But, take heed, the food is still there. The table's still spread. So, taste and see that the Lord is good. All right, we'd like to open for testimonies here. Someone has something they'd like to share. Something that God may have spoken to you, quickened you. Mind the Lord.
I'm really excited. Thank you, Paul. This is really good. I'm excited to apply this to my life. Can't wait.
Amen.
Okay. Yeah, thank the Lord and thank Brother Paul for the message this morning. I was in one of those situations last night as I was facing a situation. I was awake for about an hour or so, wrestling with how to handle the situation that's ahead. And finally, in desperation, I said, Lord, you said in your word, if any man lack wisdom, you shall ask of me. And I asked the Lord for wisdom. And he brought me to the verses, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon thy own understanding. So the situation hasn't changed. It's still ahead of me, but that's where the Lord brought me.
May the Lord do it for you, brother. Down front.
I've been thinking about that verse too some of the last several days, and it has been a real encouragement, and I just am so thankful for the opportunity that I had, starting from a child, to memorize Scripture and to have that reserve that when a situation comes, the Spirit can say, okay, this is the verse, that's the verse. And there's just a wealth there that gives direction and guidance and strength. Praise the Lord.
I'd like to thank God for His provision for us in the Word of God that really touched my heart this morning, that trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean out into your own understanding, and He will direct your path. Many times I wasn't sure about our path. I wasn't sure about which way to go. But that I really appreciate that, how we can just take in God's word and He directs our path. And I know God has done that for us many times. And I just like to say God is faithful. God is a faithful God, and I want to give Him the faith that He's given me. Praise God.
Good morning. I'd just like to thank the Lord for this opportunity to come and fellowship with you this morning. My wife Miriam and two of our children are here. But how God's directing our steps. Probably 3 weeks ago, I couldn't imagine that I would be standing here this morning. But a brother in the Lord now, David, and his wife Linda, had called me and said they needed some electrical work done. And I came and helped them out. And in the midst of our working through there, it came to the conversation of David's conversion and Linda's. And I was rejoicing with them. And David had shared how he had been working for an Amish company and had lost his job and was in the need of work. And we just were at the point that I needed some more help. And God opened those doors and led those paths for David and Linda. And for us, and we just wanted to be part of the baptism today, and I've been wanting to come and fellowship here. I've heard about it for many years. It's 2 hours from home, so it's not real close to get here, but I just thank the Lord for the message this morning. I was challenged, and before the Lord, and before your message was over, the Lord was already giving me some scriptures that He was working on my life with, so I just thank the Lord for this opportunity this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming. That makes it very special for Dave and Linda. Yeah.
I'd like to just encourage everyone with that homework assignment. Last year we received the challenge, I think it was the beginning of the year, we received the challenge to read the Bible through in 1 year. And that has so changed my life, just taking that practical step to, you know, and that challenge that was given. And I have just been richly blessed in the Word of God this past year. So I'd just like to encourage us to take to heart what, you know, that little assignment that was given us this morning. The Word of God changes our lives as we partake it. Take it in from day to day.
Maybe we can have a praise and worship and testimony day next Sunday. Just let everybody share what God did. Because we do expect God to do it. We've been inspired, we've been taught, we have been shown, and now we can put it to practice. And then share. Okay?
Yeah, what he was saying about trusting in the Lord. Last night, my sister and I were out in the pasture messing around, and I lost my cell phone. And I kind of needed it. I didn't have everybody call me on that number. And I was thinking, I was worrying terrible. I worried so bad I got sick, and I went inside the house and thinking about, and not the exact verse, but it came to my mind, you know, I just need to trust the Lord. And I just put it in the Lord's hand. And I went back out there after dark with the flashlight, and it wasn't 10 minutes, I found the phone. And I was just, wow, Lord, just keep working.
Amen. Amen.
I want to thank the Lord that He has many times just used verses that He's had me repeat over and over to just build my faith. And recently, in the last couple of months, there was a group of verses that He just kept taking me back to, and I'm like, am I back here again? You know, you really need to teach me this lesson. You know, it was just kept going back to it, and like Paul was talking about, you know, analyzing it. What does this word mean, and this kind of thing? It just blessed me, and I just thank Him.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.